This is Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio Channel 869.
Want to know what to eat, where to go and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Soundbites every Saturday, brought to you by the Food Cops on Radio Today.
And good afternoon, listeners. Welcome to Soundbites. Hope you're having a lovely day, and we'd like to welcome our guest today. Laura McDermott is with us, as always. Sorry, Edward is not with us today. He'll be with us next time, hopefully. And we've got a lovely lineup for you at the moment. We're speaking to Debbie Perry, who is a stationery expert who handcrafts stationery. Welcome, Debbie.
Good morning, Barbara. Good morning, Laura. Welcome. Thank you very much.
Debbie, tell us, how did you start the business? You make handcrafted individual stationery. Please tell us all about it.
All right. I was at home mother and wife for 25 years. So when I was sued for divorce, I had little choice but to try and find something to do.
Okay.
Going out into the employment industry.
At
48, I was looked at as though I'd crawled out of
a piece of green cheese.
Yes. And I had been doing scrapbooking for many years and was very passionate about it, loved doing it.
That alone is a craft, which we'll talk about later. Okay.
Yes. A second cousin by the name of Kathleen Kalmaya, her nickname's Chubba, sadly she's gone today, the tender age of 32, was the one who suggested to me that I should have a look at doing this. Mm-hmm. And I started making some inquiries. Obviously, I had to get a good computer to do the actual printing.
Yes.
And a very good printer to be able to give a good print quality on what I do print. And yes, I took it from there. And it started off with just some friends, doing 21st invites for my daughter, and some others for friends, making birthday cards, and I love it.
So that sounds amazing, Debbie. What I'd like to first of all to tell our listeners, if you can all visually imagine, we have an array of stationery in front of us, and I'd like Debbie to go through each one of these little invitations and her skills and talk to you all about what she has done. So in front of us we have a menu card. Now, it's not a normal menu card. If you can imagine people sitting at a beautiful wedding with this magnificent menu, kind of, I would call it like a...
It's a scroll.
A scroll.
Yeah. It is a scroll.
Please describe this, Debbie, and how you did this.
All right. Well, what happened was the young bride came to see me, and she said she would like a scroll wedding invitation. So I first of all came up with the invitation, which is basically two dowel sticks that have been cut to size and then have silver cones stuck on each side. One's got to be very careful not to show your glue. Then we take mulberry paper, which is a soft spun. It's a handmade paper, and it is then cut to size, printed, and then stuck onto the dowel sticks and rolled so that it looks like a scroll. Then I use various ribbons, usually a very narrow one, and then one that's about 20 centimeters wide, and I make a bow to hold the scroll closed, attach a charm or something that is relevant to the bridal couple. In this case, they were, their theme were hearts, so I found a silver heart to match the silver ends. And then she wanted a menu,
so I had to match.
So I had to go to the drawing board and made the ordinary scroll as I did the invite, but it had to be shown, and I didn't want it to lay flat on the table.
So you wanted it to stand out.
So I visited a friend who's very good with woodwork, and we played around with some drawings, and we came up with a stand. He did originally help me with the cutting, and then we made the stand. I spray painted it silver and added a heart on the top, which slots in so that the table number is showing and the menu is then standing up like a rolled out scroll on the table.
That's exquisite.
It is exquisite.
That's
thank
beautiful.
You.
Beautiful. Now tell me the one thing that caught my attention, mulberry paper.
I was going to ask you about that. Can you tell us about mulberry paper?
What is mulberry paper?
Mulberry paper, as I understand, is made from mulberry leaves, and they use some of the silkworms spin. And they roll it out. This particular paper is made in South Africa. The suppliers are in Hartbeespoort, so one can buy many colors.
Do you buy
colors.
Them in rolls, or do you buy them per square?
You buy them in sheets of
okay.
about a meter by 600.
And as you say, you can get any color under the sun.
Well, the pastel colors. They are generally not bright colors. I usually use the off-white. Because it gives a very good print quality, and of course it matches in with any other colours that the bridal couple may have as their theme.
Now, Debbie, once you've got your mulberry sheets, what then? How do you actually, what, do you put it on a computer, or how do you do
this? Well, first, I do obviously cut them to approximately an A4 size,
yes.
And then I have to do the layout on the computer, print on my printer. I have a very good printer, and I do have to feed those sheets because they're so fine through one at a time.
One at a time, exactly.
Every now and again you do get one screwing up,
yes.
But it you feed it through.
That's a painstakingly process, and you have this beautiful finish. How long does each one of these things take, Debbie? 10 minutes, an hour?
It's difficult to judge because I don't ever make one thing from start to finish.
Right.
It's always a bit of a conveyor belt system.
Right.
So if I know I have to do 15 menus, I will do the scrolls first, then I'll do the stands, then I'll do the table numbers. But I would estimate that you're looking at about 2 hours per menu.
So it's in stages. And then with regards to the beautiful font that you've actually used on that one, particularly, did the bridal couple tell you what kind of font they wanted you to use, or had you sort of interpreted using the scroll being an old sort of feel that you would use that beautiful old script?
Well, yes, that partly. Generally, when the bridal there are occasions when they come when they know exactly what font they want, but for the most part, I do a proof of two or three fonts, and then we choose from that.
And then you give them the proof, and then they decide. Do they ever change their minds once you've done the final thing? Do they say, well, I'm not really happy with this? Because people are quite strange sometimes.
Very, very seldom. Very seldom. We generally, in our meeting, we usually have one meeting where we discuss everything about the wedding, whether they have a theme, what their colors are, where the wedding is taking place, because every venue has its own look and feel. I'm very fortunate in that I live in the middle of probably 30 venues within a 15-20 kilometer radius,
right.
So I've gotten to know what the venues look like. Once I know what sort of theme they're looking at, whether it's a morning wedding or an evening wedding, I also like to then find out if there is something that is special between the two of them. For example, when I made an invitation for a couple who are both crazy about horse riding, I went from place to place and eventually found Horseshoe Charms.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's really
so
nice.
So you put in your personal touch, basically, onto every single invite.
I try
which
to,
makes
yes.
it quite unique.
Yes, I do.
Now, Debbie, tell me, you now have a beautiful, I would describe it like a kind of a cornucopia scroll. What is this?
Yes, this is one that a bride asked me to come up with a cone which could hold an invitation.
All right.
I tried various ways and found that just by rolling the invitation and pushing it in, it didn't look very professional.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I went back to the scroll idea, and she loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So we added the organza ribbon, the pearl beads, the white roses, and, Yes, and she now, was very happy.
If every invitation has to, then they obviously got to hand deliver this because you can't post this.
No, no, they do hand deliver most.
Right.
Occasionally, there are invites that need to be posted to Cape Town, Durban, and even sometimes overseas. But then they would
have to wrap them
into a box and send it that way, yes.
Because it's very fragile and very delicate. And that's what makes it, I think, so unique, Laura.
Well, what a wonderful surprise when you get something delivered to you like that. Because it makes you want to open it.
Exactly.
And it makes you look forward to what the wedding's going to hold, because I think an invitation speaks a lot about what's
to come. Absolutely. And it shows you what love they put into the wedding, simply from the invitation.
And just looking at in front I'm actually looking at those beautiful flip-flops that
you've
got there.
Yes, that's what we're going to talk about now. Okay.
Those are absolutely amazing. Stunning. So just to explain to the listeners, the invitation is in the shape of a slip-on shoe. And it's even got the little thongs made out of paper with the little beads holding the satin ribbons down for the thong. And the invitation is actually printed on the slip stop.
Yes.
So it's absolutely beautiful. Tell us about that.
Tell us about your beach wedding.
This one was great fun. I went to see a young woman, beautiful young woman, who was planning her wedding. She's a wedding coordinator herself at one of the five-star wedding venues, and she explained to me she was very tired of all the pomp and ceremony, and she wanted something for the beach. She wanted to get married at the beach, and her idea was to buy pairs of slops from somewhere and print on them. And I had my doubts as to how well that would work, so I said, look, let me go home and play. I call it playing because it really is fun. I went home. I knew that she wanted turquoise and white. So I set to using one of my own pairs of slops, and I made a pattern. And then I realized that I would need to back both sides of each one of the left and the right to be able to hide where the ribbon is attached. She also wanted a verse, and she wanted a verse.
I think this is amazing. Can I read the verse to the
Yes,
listeners?
I would love you to, because I actually made that one up myself.
Oh, did you?
Okay. I did.
Right, this is Debbie's take on this beautiful, I don't know what we call it, slip-slop invitation. Okay, so she's got, true love is like the ocean. It moves continuously, yet adapts to change. It shares with every living creature necessary for its survival. It is powerful, yet exudes peace to all those who touch it. It's beautiful, Debbie. Maybe
Thank
you should
you.
Go into writing. I think that's so so appropriate for this.
Anyway, so yes, we again, I used the beads because that is beach,
symbolic
of beach. And then the little flowers with the bling. And she was absolutely delighted.
She must have been over the moon. I know that I would have absolutely loved an invitation like
so
this.
Her original idea was a slop, but it was for me to come up with a slop that could be done in paper and cardstock.
And then her invitation, her menus, did you do her menus as well? For the
No, I did not do menus for her, as I understand the venue on the Dolphin Coast did her menus for her.
Fine. That's beautiful.
And then it went into a container that looks much like you would slip your sunglasses into.
Yes. Oh, right. Do you do those as well?
Yes,
Okay. And how was that sort of made of cardboard? Or?
That was made of a heavier cardstock in plain white, yes, with a slight texture on the paper.
Now, Debbie, as we're looking at all the invitations, what is price range? I mean, what is the listener, you know, they probably want to find out how much is this going to cost. Can you tell us about cost?
I can give you an idea. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to say exactly because papers do vary in price quite a lot. I refuse to use substandard paper because it just doesn't fold properly. And it just gives a bad finish. So you're probably looking in the region of starting at around 45 rand.
Per invitation. Or per menu or, okay.
Yes, and then it could go right the way up to, I would say, about 70 or 80 Rand, mm-hmm. but that would then include some laser cutting, which I do need to outsource.
Can you tell us a bit about laser cutting and show us something?
Yes, this is an invitation done for a couple who got mm-hmm. married at a beautiful venue, and she wanted this dusty pink and a vintage
look.
So I saw the laser cutter and we played around with some ideas, and that's what I came up with. And again, she was ecstatic about it.
And how do you emboss? I see you've actually embossed the initials onto the card.
Yes.
How do you do that?
I have a little cuttle bug.
Okay. What's a cuttle bug?
A cuttle bug is a scrapbooking paper enthusiast's tool.
Mm-hmm. What does it look like? Little scissors?
It looks like, no, it looks a little bit like a miniature sewing machine.
Okay.
You open it, and then you have embossing folders, which you put your paper into, and then you roll through.
Wow.
So each initial has to be rolled through separately. Wow. So if it's M and M, I must do the M first, then take it out and do it again.
And obviously, if you make a mistake, the whole thing's scrapped. You've got to start again.
Start again.
My goodness, you've got to be...
So this filigree on here is the
laser cutting.
Mm. That's incredible.
No human being could cut like that.
That precise. Yes.
No, it's impossible.
So how long would the laser cutting itself take?
The laser cutting is very fast. Those machines are absolutely amazing. What they do is they have the design on the computer, which they turn into what they call a vector. And then they use that vector, they place the paper in just the correct place and let the laser cutter do its job. And it basically has a very fine red laser,
yes,
which shines down, and it burns the paper, but so finely that you can't see it.
That's incredible. So you could choose any design.
And
the laser cutter could actually cut it for you.
Correct.
That's beautiful. So this invitation, for instance, with the laser cutting, what would this cost?
You would be looking at around 65 to mm-hmm. 70, depending again on the paper chosen.
Right.
Sometimes the metallic papers and the very heavy grams, for instance, your 300 grams are obviously more expensive than the, say, 200. And again, it also depends on what they choose for embellishments. Ribbon is not that pricey, but there are some buckles and
charms
are not
and
expensive.
And
but yes, and it also does depend on how much labor is involved. Mm. You take the one, for example, that Barbara's holding.
Yes,
that is not that expensive in materials, but very intricate and lots of labor.
And listeners, again, just to remind you, we are speaking to Debbie Parry, who makes the most exquisite stationery, handcrafted stationery. And just to remind you, I will give out her details at the end, but for the moment, can I just give you her phone number? It's 084-662-1130. Let's continue, Debbie. I have in front of me, what would you call this, Debbie? I cannot describe this. It's so beautiful. It's a brown invitation with the most intricate filigree lace. Please describe this one to the listeners. And flowers embossed.
Right. This young couple I've known for some years, and when they came to me, she had a few ideas on what she wanted. So we looked at it and we played around with her mum, who's also a friend of mine, and eventually came up with this. Basically, what I'm holding is a folded card in a chocolate brown matte cardstock. What I have done is I've taken a heart, I've embossed it on a metallic white, and cut part of the heart away and placed it onto the front of the card. Then we've used lace, which has a picot edge on both sides, mm-hmm. to put down the side and go slightly over the edge.
And the little, are they rhinestones?
Then the little bling rhinestones have been pasted at intervals. And then, of course, there's the brown rose, which is
Is that handmade, or do you get them?
No, these
made?
I buy.
You buy
these
those? These
I
okay.
do buy. And then, so you've got your one brown rose in the middle and your two smaller white ones on either side with the green organza ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
The colors for the wedding were brown and white with just a touch of green.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did have my laser cutter cut their initials and put a little, also in the white, and put a little, two pieces of bling onto that.
Onto their names.
Then when you open it, the insert is hand cut on the sides with fancy scissors. That is been printed on vellum, which
what is
vellum? Vellum is
transparent.
It's a transparent paper that you do get in various colors and various grams weights. In other words,
mm-hmm.
Beautiful to work with. Quite finicky with printing because it takes a long time to dry. But
it almost feels like rice paper. But a bit thicker.
Yes, it's got some sort of a nylon in it. Then we've added half of the lace, so you've just got your flat edge and your picot edge, and then the bling on the inside as well.
It's absolutely exquisite. I wish the listeners could see it. Perhaps we could take photographs later with the individual invitations.
That would be
Where
lovely.
Do you source your materials from, Debbie?
All sorts of places. I go from Hartebeespoort Dam to Kempton Park to Selby to the Chinese malls. Wherever I go, my eyes are open and looking. But they have been for many years for scrapbooking, so that helps.
And Debbie, okay, one other thing I wanted to ask you. We have a beautiful box here with an invitation in. Now, it looks a little bit similar to that brown and white. Can you tell us a little bit about this boxed invitation?
Yes, this one was for a very elegant black and white wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a simple, it's actually a Z-fold.
Wow.
So it folds out into three. And what I've done is I've used a very heavy white cardstock. Then I've put on, it's called matting, when you have different layers with the colors. In other words, each layer is a little bit wider, so you have the matting showing around like a frame.
Now, was this your idea, this kind of Z frame, or is
this
that
was my idea? Yes. When she came to see me, she didn't want to go to huge expense,
right?
So we looked at this. She also wanted a canna, not a canna, sorry, a calla lily.
Oh, right, okay.
And that was quite a mission.
Yes, I should imagine.
I had to do a lot of shopping around and eventually found some flowers that I had to cut down a little bit to make them look similar to a calla lily, a white calla lily.
It's beautiful.
And that,
so,
yeah, sure. Even the box. If Laura
box
wants
matches.
To describe the box and what's in it, is absolutely amazing.
Well, the box is about 15 centimeters square. And it has got horizontal stripes of black, silver, and a shiny sort of silver strip. And it's absolutely beautiful. So it really makes you want to open it and take a look what's inside. It's an invitation all by itself just to
look
in the box.
Absolutely.
So regardless of what's in it, it just makes one very excited to actually see something like that. It's absolutely beautiful.
And again, we're talking to Debbie Parry. If anyone wants her details, we will give them at the end of the show. Debbie is also an expert in scrapbooking, so I'm sure if anyone wants to find out more about her, do you still do scrapbooking?
I do. I don't have anywhere near as much time as I would like to have. But
if somebody
this satisfies me because it
it ticks all the boxes, doesn't it?
It ticks all the boxes. Well put.
And Debbie, if there's anybody out there who has like a pile of a memory box, for instance, and doesn't know what to do with it, can they call you and can you put something together for them? At a price, obviously.
Yes, I could certainly do that.
Okay. And is there anything else here that we haven't touched on, Laura? What about this box? I think we haven't started.
This one was one of my favorites, and she was one of my first brides.
Mm-hmm.
She actually worked with my sister, and that's how I got to know her.
It looks almost like a pen box, like there's a pen inside. And so if you can imagine, listeners, a pen box. But when you open it,
when you open it, there's a scroll inside.
Yes.
Now, this one is a little different and extremely time-consuming, but so satisfying.
And so delicate.
Because what I've done is I've used 3mm dowel sticks, which I painted black. Mm. And then I had to use a tiny drill bit to drill little holes in each ends of the 3mm dowel sticks so that I could add spaces, bead caps, and then push in a pin. That is actually a hat pin, which I have cut and pushed in and used a special glue that holds metal to paper and wood, and I've pushed that in and then added the mulberry paper and rolled it up.
That is amazing.
But she didn't want it like that on its own.
Yeah, sure.
So I sat and made up a template for a box, which I hand cut with I hadn't heard about any of the laser cutting machines at that stage, so I cut this with a metal ruler and a hobby knife and glued the box together, added the embossing for their initials, the little flowers, the ribbon, the hearts, the butterfly, mm-hmm. and it was for an Alice in Wonderland wedding.
Oh, wow.
And what I love, Is this your word? Is this the wording that they wanted, or did you come up with the wording?
No, that is not my wording. That is it. I keep a file, and I've collected many different wording
phrases
for wedding invitations,
yes.
Verses that can be added like that one, and also gift suggestion verses.
Absolutely superb. Listeners, I think we've had a wonderful treat this morning from Debbie, and if anyone would like to get hold of her, please call her on 084-662-1130, and apparently she is linked to Facebook, Debbie Perry, facebook.com/pages/myhandprint. Debbie, thank you so much for being with us today, and I hope you carry on enjoying your work and your craft, and that a lot of people get to see your work eventually, and all the best.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great pleasure to be on your show.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Debbie.
And it's actually brought my creative fires up this morning.
Exactly.
Debbie, so thank you very much.
Thank you
that.
Very much. Thank you.
Thanks.
There are great summer savings on groceries. Get 2 liters of P&P sunflower oil for only R29.90. 2.5 kilograms of Salati white sugar is R21.80. 750 grams Cross and Blackwell mayonnaise is R18. 2 kilograms of Tastic rice is R18. And 9 assorted Pick and Pay 2-ply toilet tissue is only R38. And you can save even more if you visit the kiosk and print your Smart Shopper vouchers. Only at Pick and Pay, always there for you. Prices are valid from the 5th to the 8th of December, and prices apply to Gauteng stores.
Hello, I'm Neil Starr. Please tune in to That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. for some real music nostalgia, when I'll be taking you on a trip down memory lane with music sourced exclusively of 78-speed shellac records. My music will cover anything from 1910 to the late 1950s. Remember, it's That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. with me, your host, Neil Starr.
Hi, I'm Vinette Ibrahim, better known as Charmaine from Sevendaland, and you're listening to 1485 Radio Today.
Today, South Africans share their lives with you here on Radio Today.
And welcome back to Soundbites. And we are joined by Glenda Moore from the Organic Market, and we also have our wonderful co-host today. Well, we both co-hosting
both
each other today,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Hi.
It's Barbara Gilman.
Hi, and welcome, Glenda.
Yes. Now, Glenda, the Bryanston Natural and Organic Market has been around for many years, and it's gone through many metamorphoses throughout the years. And you took over the helm a couple of years ago, if I'm not mistaken, and you've turned that place into a powerhouse. And I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about the philosophy behind the market.
Yes.
Yes, certainly. And thank you very much for having me on your program. I'm delighted to be here.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Yes. As you mentioned, the market has been around for 37 years now. And it started from very humble beginnings by parents of the school, because the market, in fact, belongs to the Michael Mount Waldorf School,
mm-hmm.
and all the proceeds from the market go into the funds of the school. All
right.
The capital development at the school is sourced from the market, and we also have two sister schools in Kanyezi in Alexander and Lesedi in Limpopo, which we also support out of the proceeds of the market. It's two small Waldorf schools that have been established.
Mm-hmm.
Where this came, the ethos of the market is that we wanted to create an environment where organic food, natural and organic food, was easily available. And of course, many years ago, this was so very easy because all the farmlands around here, it wasn't a built-up suburb, it was a farmland, and the barrows just used to come in with the vegetables and be sold in a very informal way. But as the city developed, it's become a much more formal structure, and the focus is still very much on natural and organic foodstuffs, mm-hmm. Which is about 40% of our income, and the rest is for artists and crafts. So we want crafters and artists who produce beautiful works out of natural and organic materials, and this is an environment for them to come, to grow, to show their skills, and to earn a living from their wonderful gifts.
And to flourish from this, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Now, Glenda, what are the hours, and when does it operate?
Yes, we open on Thursday and Saturday,
mm-hmm.
from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock every Thursday and Saturday. With a short recess, 2 weeks over Christmas, New Year, we close
down. Sure.
And then, of course, we have our very famous Moonlight Market,
mm-hmm.
The Christmas markets, which happen 6 weeks in the lead up to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And this year they start on the 12th of November. It's a Tuesday evening, and they occur every Tuesday evening right up to Christmas, to the 17th of December, from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And they're lots of fun, lots of beautiful Christmas presents.
Yes.
You see the market in a totally different light.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and carol singing, of course, in the last three moonlights as we get up to Christmas time.
And Glenda, what is your favorite stall or your favorite product that is displayed there, apart from the usual stuff?
Oh, my goodness.
That's putting you on the spot,
that
I know.
That is so putting me on the spot, because there are so many beautiful
sure.
things.
But the ones you love the most, what can you describe it, or can you tell us about it?
Well, the one that intrigued me when I got here, having been in corporate business all my life and having to be dressed up and very well-groomed kept and presentable, I was fascinated to find out that we had a stall that does absolutely natural makeup. It's minimal makeup, and there are no artificial additives or anything in these makeup, and it's all made in beautiful bases, lipsticks, eyeshadows, mascaras. So I thought that was really unique, that
totally.
One could go down to that level of having a natural and organic product.
Sure, and it's healthy, and it's helping the environment.
Of course, and it's the skin, for your skin, not tested on animals.
That's exactly.
None of that kind of those kind of practices are done.
Now, I am fortunate enough to be able to showcase my products at the Bryanston Natural and Organic Market, and I know that a lot of listeners are probably thinking, well, how do I get in there? Now, I was explaining to Barbara off air that this is no hillbilly roadshow, that it's, quite a serious market, and everything is vetted and looked at quite rigorously. And, we need to submit forms whenever a new product needs to go through the panel, the selection committee.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about that, Glenda, and tell us what you are looking for in a product.
Okay. I believe that this has been the success of the market over the 37 years, this very strict control of what comes into the market. As a market management, we are always aware of exactly what's available in our market and the source of all those products that are in the market and the ingredients and the elements that make up the product. So the committee consists of six people from the school, from the market, various people involved, all come with different disciplines and expertise. And so it's not an individual decision, I like your product, I don't like your product. It very much comes to a committee. And what is so rewarding about sitting on the selection committee, because I do serve on this committee, is that it's not just a case of a tick list. Well, you know, you meet these criteria, so you're in.
Yes.
It's very much a personal thing of where a stallholder finds themselves, what difficulties they might be experiencing in their lives, what challenges are out there in the marketplace. And not our market, I mean the general target marketplace, in terms of what customers are asking for or what awareness should be brought to customers. So it's a hugely encompassing and holistic process that we go through in selecting the products. But your question was, what do we look for in products? Foodstuffs, we always welcome foodstuffs. As I said, it's 40% of our business. And we're always looking for people who are passionate about growing organically and the basic promise that at the very least we give our customers is that none of the products contain any additives, preservatives or colorants. That is the base that we start from, and it works its way up to certified organic products. So very much foodstuffs, and on those terms that it's natural. And then, of course, as you know, we have such a variety of products here. We have clothing, jewelry, we have art, fine art, we have sculpture, we have ceramics, we have leatherware, we have metalwork, I mean, I could go on glassware. Yeah. It's just a variety of things, you know, whatever people can be creative about. But again, it always focuses on being natural and organic. And, you know, very often the question comes up to us about recycled plastic.
Yes.
Obviously, recycling is a big focus for us. We want to see recycling practiced. But we don't accept recycled plastic.
And batteries?
I beg your pardon?
And batteries for recycling?
Oh, no. There is a recycle plant on our premises where you can recycle your own waste.
Right.
So in terms of recycling waste, we have a facility for that.
Right.
I'm referring here to the use of recycled materials in products for on-selling.
Right, right.
Yes.
Well, Glenda, I know that the market has, as I said before, gone from strength to strength. And I think that anybody who is interested in healthy living, which in my opinion should be everybody, should actually make a trip through and take a look at the diversity of stallholders and products available through the organic and natural market. And I can hear the little piano tinkling in the
background. Yes.
And on
it's market day.
Absolutely. Yes. Thursdays and Saturdays, generally there's some kind of entertainment.
Yes.
So it really is, it's a beautiful environment for families to come through, to be able to sit and listen to the music.
Yes. I might just add, at this very moment, I'm sitting with vegetables virtually up to my ears all around me. We've just gone into a fabulous initiative with the Hilton Hotel where they are doing a Sunday lunch, a natural and organic Sunday lunch. And all the products for the lunch are bought from our markets. So on Thursday, I do the cheese and the meat and the bread and the vegetables and everything that goes, the eggs and everything that go into this meal. And as I say, I'm sitting with that round my ear. So a lot happens here besides the tinkling of the ivories on a Thursday.
It's very exciting. And Glenda, can you tell us a little bit about Laura's products? I know they are remarkable. And as a nutritionist, I think it would be nice. Could she talk about them for a little bit?
Oh, with absolute pleasure. Laura's, in fact, joining me joining us. I will be present as well. We have an outdoor... Health and Wellness Day this coming week, and I've invited Laura particularly because she's so knowledgeable about nutrition and healthy eating habits. With pleasure, let Laura speak for herself.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Barbara. I think one of the nice things being at this market is that the typical audience that comes through are generally well versed in things natural, organic, and healthy. So when they do come through to my stall, sometimes one really has to be on your toes, because they will ask you questions, and they're very discerning, and they're very educated. So it's actually,
and they want someone with who can give them the on-the-spot answers.
Absolutely.
They don't want anyone to say, well, I'll check on the insert or something.
Yes.
And that's where you are remarkable, because you will give it to them immediately.
So it is a privilege to be able to deal with people like that, because it also means that I have to grow and develop through that as well. But, you know, apart from our products, as Glenda was saying, there's many other vendors who have remarkable products. And, you know, the earlier you get there, the better, especially when it comes to the fresh produce, because all your fruits and
sold
vegetables
out.
And things are sold out before 10 o'clock often, you know. The poor vendor standing there with their little baskets empty.
That's
also a good indication of how wonderful the market is. But Glenda, perhaps you can tell us if people are interested in possibly getting their products into the market.
And Glenda, can we contact you on this number, 011-706-3671? Is that the best, or do you have a cell number?
No, that's our landline.
Yes.
It's best to contact that. But there is a very well laid down process for applying to the market.
Can you tell us all about it, how someone would go about it?
Yes.
Thank you.
You go to our website, which is www.bryanstonorganicmarket.co.za.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
And everything's on there.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, you know, not only will you be able to view all the stallholders and products that are for sale at the market, but there is a stallholder application form. And so you complete that form online and send it to us, and then it gets handed to our selection committee. And if they are interested in the product, the applicant will be invited to come and present their product to the selection committee.
Thank you very much, Glenda. It's been lovely talking to you.
Yes, Glenda, thank you very much for offering up your time. And we hope that we've put a bit of a fire under people to actually come through and take a look. But I would recommend, especially this time of the year with the beautiful weather that we're having, that people come through and take a look. And I hope that a lot of people will also come through to the moonlight markets, because they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially
and
now.
The most beautiful, unique Christmas presents in the world.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I have a lot that I could share about our organic agricultural processes and the farmers and how we vet our farmers.
That would be maybe on another time, Glenda. Perhaps we could call you again.
It would be my pleasure. But
thank
if any
you.
Of your listeners would like the information, it is on our website, but they're most welcome to contact me as well.
Thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure, and thanks for having us.
Thanks, Glenda.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.
How does an ordinary South African take on the raging war against drugs? Do you buy the deadliest weapons available or relocate to a safe neighborhood? An SMS could be just as effective. Be one of our faceless heroes. Report any suspicious behavior by SMSing an anonymous tip-off to Crimeline on 32211. Your anonymity is guaranteed. Crimeline is in partnership with the SAPS. SMS is charged at 1 rand.
If you want choice, meaning you can find spectacles you really like at the right price, come to Spectacle Warehouse at Hilfox Centre, Atterbury Value Mart and Centurion Lifestyle Centre. Park at our doorstep and step into the biggest selection of optical product under one roof, priced to suit every pocket, and we can make your spectacles the same day. Spectacle Warehouse, unlimited choice.
This is Radio Today, broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio Channel 869.
Hi everyone, it's Barbara Gilman again, back after the break. We're very happy we still have Laura McDermott with us and a new guest stroke co-host. Her name is Opal Jasmine. She is Spirit's Oracle.
Yes.
Hi, Jasmine. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Hi, Opal Jasmine.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a bit about what you do. Who are you? Who is Opal?
Okay. Well, I'm pretty much Opal, that's Spirit's Oracle. I do various forms of healing. I work with various modalities. I believe that all forms of healing should be holistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you start with the inside and you work your way out. I work with a modality called metamorphosis. I do a lot of energy work, mm-hmm. energy healing, crystal healing. I do huge amounts of space clearing for business premises and homes.
Can I stop you at that point?
Yes.
Can you tell us more about that? I think most businesses and individuals would be very interested in this.
Okay, well, space clearing is all about clearing the energy in an environment. Very often we take for granted that we live and work in a certain environment and that we are constantly giving off energy, whether it's in our thoughts, word, action, the people we are surrounded with, the circumstances we are surrounded with. They, you know, it all has an impact and it mm-hmm. all leaves a residue mm-hmm. in our space. So what the space clearing does is it gets rid of all of that mm-hmm. and it gives the entire place almost like a breath of fresh air. Okay. So it's sprinkling in a building or an office or a home, but from an energetic point of view.
Now, how would you do this? How do you go about this?
Oh, wow. There's so many different ways of doing it. I use huge amounts of salt. Okay. Mm-hmm. Salt okay. is one of nature's purifiers mm-hmm. and cleansers.
And what do you do with the salt?
It depends on the environment. If I can, I put the salt on the floor. If I can't, I generally put it in bowls and I'll use candles. I do huge amounts of smudging, leave incense burning. And the most important thing with space clearing is your intention.
So would the occupants have to move out?
Well, they don't have to move out. It's just best if I don't have too much activity okay. around right. so that I can stay focused and clear on my intention. Mm-hmm. I normally sit with the clients and ask them what it is they want to achieve, what it is they want to change in their lives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we go through the entire process of healing, changing our diets, mm-hmm. You know, making
better
mental
energy.
Changes, yeah, physical changes, et cetera, and we keep tripping ourselves mm-hmm. up and we're not sure why. Very often it's because of the stagnant energy in our environments. So the space clearing just gives you that that new boost of energy that can surround you and flow with you as opposed mm-hmm. to against what you're trying to achieve.
So how long would this take?
It depends on
how long is a piece of string.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It depends on the size of the building.
Okay.
You know, the preparation takes quite a bit of time. For a really small place, mm-hmm. It can take me anything from 3 to 5 hours
okay.
to do one, you know, a really small a townhouse, for example,
okay.
or cluster. Bigger spaces take a lot longer. I generally say if people have done renovations, I try and do the space clearing before they move in.
Right.
So that I can lay the salt all over the place, because there you get rid of the energy of the guys that have been working on the property,
okay.
the stress factors,
right.
everything that's surrounded
yes.
the whole construction process is then cleared and released, and mm-hmm. you're literally moving into a space that is clean
and fresh and pure.
Absolutely.
Now tell me, what about, for instance, if we've got corporates and it's a multi-level building, often nine or 10 stories,
yes,
whatever.
I've been to that, yes.
So if you get invited in to do a space clearing there, you mm-hmm. obviously cannot do every single office. I mean, it's physically impossible. So what do you do there?
You do every single office.
Oh, wow.
You just the people in that situation would then understand that the process would take me a week or two to complete mm-hmm. because I'd have to put salt in every aspect. So if it's an open plan office, for example, I'll then put salt in all the corners as mm-hmm. opposed to across the entire building.
Mm-hmm.
And that also reduces cost to the clients. The candles are absolutely imperative. Okay, you need to cleanse
yes,
and purify
yes.
it with flame,
mm.
and your candle is one of the most powerful alternative mm. tools you have available, because it is the only man-made product that has all five elements incorporated
mm.
into it. So it's of vital importance mm. that you mm. burn candles, and you need one candle for every 5 square meters.
Are they large candles or little ones, or
I use the standard candles.
Okay.
If there's really, really intense energy, so if I've been into a house or a corporate environment where there's been some weird and wonderful mm-hmm. things happening, or
can you sense it as you walk in?
Generally, yes. Yes.
Or do they tell you this has happened?
Sometimes they phone me and they say to me, you know, there's some really weird things happening.
Right.
You know, things are moving, things are disappearing, that sort of thing.
Mm.
So, you know, it depends. But if I'm having a situation where there's major trauma or really weird things going on, then I go and I look for specific candles to deal with those types of situations.
Right.
Because there you're using different colors. You're using different size candles.
Mm.
Also, the way the candle burns gives you a clear indication of the energy in the place. Yes.
That's so. Wow.
Now, Opal, what happens, for instance, because we surrounded by bad energy in the forms of electromagnetic frequencies, radiation, all of those kind of things. So even though you've cleared this wonderful space now, how do we overcome those things? Because, I mean, those are permanent. We there's nothing we can do about them. So how would one maintain clearing that space?
Well, there's oh, wow. Now you've started on a whole new list.
This is another program.
Okay. Yes. One of the best things to do is to surround yourself with crystals. Okay, get crystals for the corners of your home.
I see you're wearing a crystal, so
yes,
that's
you can use your clear quartz, which is always a very good one, because you can program the crystal with your own intention.
Yes.
So it's what you want that you fill that crystal with that energy, and that's what it will give off.
In part, yes.
Your rose quartz. Rose quartz is
beautiful.
Easily available, and it's very well priced, but it's also the stone of unconditional love.
Okay. So you put that next to your bed normally, don't you? At night?
Actually,
believe it induces sleep. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes, because it's a very calming stone. Mm-hmm. But they say that you should put rose quartz in every single room in the house.
Oh, really?
Because it gives off that unconditional love.
Okay.
If you consider all the stress factors that people are dealing with on a daily basis, 90% of the time your energy is so high and so negative, and you're sitting in traffic and you've got personal situations and you've
the
got
phone
professional
is buzzing
and everything's going. So the rose quartz just brings everything down and it helps improve the personal relationships in your personal environment. If you've got it in a corporate environment, it helps improve relationships in the work environment. Because it literally brings all the energies right down to a nice
balance.
Yes, and it's gentle.
And tell me, Opal, a peculiar question. For animals that are very highly strung, can you put it like next to their sleeping bed?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There you can also use
my
amethyst.
My dogs would probably eat them. But well, yeah, wild dogs, yeah.
Actually, I've got a dog as well that carries my smaller rose quartz.
Oh, really?
As well. She doesn't chew it. She just carries it around.
Okay.
Rose quartz is brilliant because you can put it in their water.
Oh.
So if you've got dogs that are highly strung, you just put a couple of pieces in their water bowl.
Wow.
For yourself, you can use it as an elixir and you can put it in your own water. So you put it in a glass jug of water and you just let it sit there and soak and you drink that water all day. And it really calms you down.
Really?
So if you're going through any major trauma or stressful situations, best thing to use.
Wow. It's inexpensive, cheap and most effective.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is amazing.
And it works all the way around, you know, from the inside out. That's
where do you buy them? Obviously at the markets or you sell them or?
No, I don't.
It's difficult to find rose quartz.
Well, actually, just on that.
The market, yes.
No, over here, as I walked in this morning, there were bags of rose quartz, and I thought to myself, how wonderful. Now, for people that don't know, we're at Garden World.
The most beautiful
and
setting.
And it's wonderful, and you can come here at any time, and you can pick up some rose quartz.
Oh,
so it is easily available.
And it's available at most nurseries. It really is. And you can get massive rocks as well.
Can you put one like in your bag or your purse or whatever?
Absolutely.
That's good to carry with you. Wow.
I wear them in my pockets as well.
Okay.
So,
that's why you're very calm and very centered.
Cool.
Okay, Opal, that is wonderful. I think, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, please, if anyone would like to get hold of Opal, please call her at 072-299-1996 and her website is your email address is opal@spiritsoracle.com. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me once again.
Thank you, Opal.
Do you want to keep up to date with what's happening with Radio Today, Johannesburg? Have you always felt the urge to write on someone's wall but never quite dared? Now you can, and more, on Facebook. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/radiotodayjhb or on Twitter at Radio Today. That's the sign at Radio numeral 2 Day. Also follow our blog at radiotodayjohannesburg.blogspot.com. Radio Today, radio that delivers.
There is a code of practice that governs advertising in South Africa, a code upheld by the Advertising Standards Authority. So if you see or hear an advertisement you consider misleading or dishonest, don't just cover your eyes or block your ears or keep quiet about it.
Write to the ASA at PO Box 41555, Craig Hall, 2024, or fax to 011-781-1616 or visit www.asasa.org.za.
Switch on to 1485 AM Radio Today.
So, Laura, one of our listeners phoned in and asked you to please, as the expert nutritionist, to talk about nutrition before she tries to have babies. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What should she or not, should she have or not have, or eat or not eat?
That's a very good question, Barbara, and it's also a loaded question because every woman is very different. And as we've just been speaking to Opal as well, it's not just necessarily about nutrition, it's about your environment. Mm-hmm. So one's got to take a look at your immediate environment to see what is happening in your environment. Are you in an environment with very high levels of electromagnetic radiation, for instance? Are you living near cell phone towers? Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of things that you need to look at with regards to what's happening in your environment. Is the place where you're working a very stressful mm-hmm. environment? Because a lot of times people also think that they can't fall pregnant because it's something that they're doing, but it's often the environment that they're working in that's actually preventing them from being able to fall pregnant. Mm-hmm. But as far as nutrition is concerned, it's about eating as cleanly as possible.
And so healthily and wholesomely.
Absolutely. So it's about trying to source the best quality products that you can.
All organic.
Well,
yes,
if possible, yes. It's often very difficult to find, all organic products, but natural definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's about making sure that they are fresh mm-hmm. and that they're highly nutritious. You know, when we go into any supermarket and we buy something off the shelves, we don't know what the nutritional quality is
like. Exactly. And how long the stuff's been lying there. You know, like, especially the pre-cut vegetables, they look beautiful, but we don't know if they've been there for three or four days. You know, they're not freshly cut.
So once again, going back to our previous caller, who was Glenda from the Bryson Organic and Natural Market, I can vouch that those products come out of the ground that morning.
That's right.
So when you go there and you load up your basket, you know that you're getting a basket full of the freshest and best quality products.
Yes.
So to start off with, I would go with that. Mm-hmm. I'd also stay away from any meat that is intensively reared.
Biltong, obviously.
So your red meat from feedlots, your chickens, especially your chickens, because those are pumped full of hormones and antibiotics and things like that.
Sure.
And of course, they're also full of estrogen, which is not going to be great for you if you are trying to fall pregnant. And if your hormonal balance is out, you're going to be battling. So it's about eating.
And fish? What about fish products? Look, I know shellfish is a no-no.
Well, once again, our fish are contaminated mm-hmm. a lot of times with mercury, especially things like your tuna.
Sure.
So I would stay away from tuna, and not only just from the tuna itself, but from tinned tuna especially.
Oh, really?
Or any tinned products, because your tinned products contain all your heavy metals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things that even things like the amount of fillings that you have in your teeth will affect the quality of your fertility. Mm-hmm. So one's got to look at these things holistically. Mm-hmm. It's not just one magic bullet that is going to solve all your problems.
Sure. So and vitamin products?
Yes, products. Well, you know, it's one of those things where zinc and folic acid are one of the two essentials.
Essentials, yes.
And not just for the woman, but for the man as well. So I think that's got to be taken into consideration too. So eating lots of pumpkin seeds, for instance, very, very good for you. And just eating fresh, wholesome food, Barbara.
Thank you very much, Laura. I'm sure the listener will be very happy to hear us. Hear all this. Thank you. Thanks again, Laura, and all our guests. You're listening to Sound Bites. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, and bye-bye from all of us. Bye.
Bye.
Want to know what to eat, where to go, and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Sound Bites every Saturday, brought to you by the Food Cops on Radio Today. Oh, oh, oh.